love this place and love these people. And it's like a home away from home. Now, it's not every church that I get invited to go preach in that I feel that way about. A lot of churches, I wonder why they ask me to come back. And especially after they've cut my throat and all of that kind of stuff, and then still want me to come back. And I'm really wondering. But I love coming here. And I appreciate you people. And I'm certainly thankful of this opportunity to be among you. And I suppose not a visitor in the house, not anybody in here that I don't know, not anybody in here that I've probably not met before, maybe one person, but I appreciate all of you. And I just want to tell you I love you, and I will meet you, Brother Andy. I got my mind made up, I'm a-going. Whether you go or whether you don't go, I'm a-going. Amen. And I want you to come with me. Amen. Revelation chapter number 3, and we'll look at verse number 1. Read the first 6 verses. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We're familiar with this text of Scripture here in the book of Revelation. Probably not the most familiar Scriptures that you'd expect us to stand with, but I have studied and tried to prepare something I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. Now, these letters to the churches here in Asia Minor, very familiar text of Scripture, and I realize the prophetical aspects contained in these Scriptures. The dispensational aspects and applications and all of those kinds of things. But I want to deal tonight primarily with a practical application out of this one letter that was wrote to the church of Sardis. Spent a lot of time studying on these churches, and that time wouldn't be permissible for me to go into all of that. But I want to deal primarily with the church at Sardis here and preach what God's put on my heart. Now here in the second verse, here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, I want to point out this one, these latter two phrases in this verse. Here it says, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Amen. I want to preach tonight, if the God of heaven will help me, on some things that the church cannot afford to lose. Amen. Now I realize, Brother Toby, in the day in which we live, in the time, the dispensation we're in, that there's a lot of churches that's already lost some things. Amen. They've lost their influence, they've lost their power, lost their conviction, lost a lot of things. But I want to say, if we're going to continue to be a fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church, there are some things that we cannot afford to lose. The cost is too great. It'll be too expensive for us to try to lose these things. And we've got to do our very best for the end to hang on to them. Thank God. Here in the church at Sardis, the Bible said here, Jesus speaking to the writer John, had told him to write these letters to these 7 churches. And he said to the angel of the church at Sardis, I want you to write these things. He said, I want you to write that I know you've got a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. Amen. And I want to say this church had a name, had a reputation, had some characteristics about it, that it was living, but deep inside, they were dead. Amen. I want to say, first of all, the church cannot afford to lose its character. Amen. Now, this character is these collective qualities that distinguish a person or a thing. That's what character is. Oftentimes, we'll use character, we say you've got a good name. Amen. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, he said, a good name is more precious, better than precious ointment. Amen. I want to say the name and the character that true church has. You cannot afford to lose it. Amen. This community is looking at you, and they're looking at your family, looking at your worship service, and you cannot afford to lose your character. Amen. I'll say this, there's a lot of individuals, Brother Toby, that have swapped their character off. Amen. They've traded it in for a bigger name, traded it in for a better way or some other way, traded in for bigger crowds and fancy music. But you cannot afford to lose your character. I want to say your character is what you really are. The Sardis had a name that they was alive, but they was really dead. And your character will speak volumes in your life as to what you really are. But your character is not what you are in front of me. But your character is not what you are in Sunday at Truth Church. But your character is what you really are. It's what you are as a person. It's what you are as a Christian. Amen. And you cannot afford to lose your character. I say the people you work with are looking at your character. Amen. But they're watching your life. But they're looking at the way you live. They're watching the way you dress. And they're wanting to see if you've really got a godly character. Amen. And you cannot afford to lose that. I'll say this, some folk may come around. They may call you legalistic. They may call you old-fashioned or fogey or a freak of nature. But you can't afford to lose that godly character that God's put in your life. Well, thank God y'all agreed. I must have said something. Amen. You can't afford to lose your character. I'll tell you, Brother Andy, your wife and my wife needs to see what kind of men we really are. Amen. Your character, Brother John's what you are at the house. Everything looks good down here, Brother, here. And Brother John waves his hand and he sings the songs and sang a special. And Brother Toby gets up and everything looks good. Ties always just right. Hair's never out of place. Amen. But his character is what he really is. Amen. And you cannot afford to lose your character. I'll say if you lose your character, you'll lose your influence. If you lose your name, you'll lose your influence. If we're ever going to win lost in a dying world, I know we got preachers running around saying you ought not to preach or fear and favor of man and all that kind of stuff. But I'll say this, if you've not got some amount of favor with a lost in a dying world, if you don't have some kind of influence, if you don't have a character, how in the world are you going to win them to God? You can't afford to lose your character. Amen. Now, a name, there's much in biblical names. Now, that we all know in biblical times, a lot of times their name would speak of their character. Jacob, his name meant supplanter or a deceiver. And we realize how they deceived his father and got his brother's blessing, birthright, and all of that. And sometimes it spoke of his name. And here Sardis had a name that they was alive, but they was dead. Amen. I want to say this, your character will speak volumes to your children. But your character will speak volumes to your co-workers. Your character, you got that lost family member of yours you're trying to win to God. They need to see godly character in you. They need to see your life exemplify some characteristics and some qualities of a godly person and a godly lifestyle. If you're ever going to win them to God, you must have a good character. Amen. The church, Brother Eddie, cannot afford to lose our character. Amen. I want to say secondly tonight, the church cannot afford to lose our convictions. Amen. And I'm going to say this. I thank God for my convictions. And I'm going to tell you this, brethren, and it took me a long time to figure this out, but I can't put my convictions on you. That's right. And it took me a long time. And I was a tad bit stubborn when I was a young preacher and all that kind of stuff. And maybe a tad bit, and still pretty young, I guess. But I was a tad bit stubborn and thought I could win the whole world. Make all the women wear dresses and all the men cut their hair right. Every woman would have hair down past her shoulders. And I thought I could win the whole world. But I found this out. When God puts a conviction in you, it's worth keeping hold of. Amen. And you cannot afford to lose it. Your convictions, my convictions would probably be different. If we sat down and talked about some things, we're not going to agree on everything. But say, thank God, you can't afford to lose what you've got. Whatever it is God requires out of your life, do not compromise. Don't back up. Don't give up your convictions. But stand fast in it, thank God. Hold on to it, amen. Your convictions will speak of your character. Amen. Jude. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, verse number 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence here to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Thank God. I say them old convictions and them old time faithful standards, they're worth earnestly seeking. Amen. And earnestly contending for them faith. And hang on to them convictions. I'll tell you why. Verse number 4 explained it. For there are ungodly men. He had crept in unawares. Amen.
who before of old were ordained for this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this, if you won't hold on to your convictions, and if you lose them along the way, you'll let some lizard dung Jezebel come into church and she'll tell you how to run things. God help us. Hang on to our convictions. Amen.
We can't afford to lose them. There's too much at stake. Amen. I've got some things that I believe, and my family knows I believe them, Brother Toby. I mean, I've been vocal about it. They want to hem you up in the corner. You can't help but be vocal. I ain't offered the information, but when they want to pin you down about it, you can't just help but tell them how you feel about stuff. I mean, they come around and want to poke and gouge about Halloween and poke and gouge about why I'm not going to teach my boy about Santa Claus and all this kind of stuff. And poke and gouge and poke and gouge. You can't hardly help but tell. Thank God. But I'll say this. If I lose them convictions, they'll lose confidence in me. If I lose what I stood on and I compromise on what I've stood on, I'll never have influence over them. We can't afford to lose our convictions. If you ever want to win your family and win your children to God, you can't afford to lose your convictions. Amen. I want my boy to know what I believe. And if my boy grows up saying, Daddy, believe this, and then 35 years down the road, Daddy changes, then I've lost not just my convictions, I've lost my character. And when I've lost my character, I've lost my influence over my boy. Amen. Lord, please save my children. It's a good song to sing. But it's a better life to live if you'll live that way. And let your children see that life in you. Hold on to your convictions. Don't lose them, thank God. Stand on what's right. Preach what's right. Live what you please. Preach what you live. Be an example to them around you. And you got power and favor with God. Amen. We can't afford to lose our convictions. Thirdly, I want to say we can't afford to lose our compassion. Amen. I'm going to say this. I live in an area where constantly all they preach is hellfire and brimstone. Now I'm telling you, I'm for preaching, and I am. But everything in this Bible is not hellfire and brimstone. Amen. Now I realize that in Jude, he wrote this in Jude. He said the psalm, you got to have compassion. But there's others you got to save with fear. Pulling them out of the very flames. Amen. I want to say this, as much as we need to preach condemnation, we need to preach with compassion. Amen. I want to say we need to have compassion one towards another. Amen. Thank God it's right. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Peter wrote and said, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. But love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Amen. I want to say we ought to have a compassion toward the brethren. I'll say this, if Brother John's hurting, I ought to hurt. I'll say if Brother Andy's going through it, I ought to go through it. If we've got love and compassion, we can't afford to lose it. Amen. I'll tell you this. If a man get up and preach angrily, he can preach what's right and preach mad and it not have the same effect as if you get up and preach it with compassion.
That's right.
Amen. I'll tell you this, you'll draw more bees with honey than you will with vinegar. I know that's right.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I'm not saying you ought to be one of these that tiptoes through the tulips and sugarcoats and patch it down. But I am saying this, you can preach hard with compassion and preach convictions with love in your heart.
Yes.
Loving the brethren. Loving their children. And wanting to see the best out of their home. And see the best for their family. We cannot afford to lose our compassion.
Yes.
We ought to love His brethren. Amen. And I think that more than just this old Brother John here. He's a good old boy. Thank God for him. And just say, amen, he's a good deacon. Thank God. We ought to love his brethren. I think it goes beyond just a happy acquaintance. Amen. I think it goes beyond just a well association. But love as brethren. Amen. I mean, if Brother Toby's way down in the deep of the hurting, he didn't even know it, but he has a hurting over this stuff that happened with y'all's conference. I found myself on my bedside of begging God to help Brother Toby. Wasn't altogether concerned about what's going to happen to FCM, but I was begging God to help my brother. Amen. We ought to have that kind of compassion and that kind of love for the brethren. I wonder if you got that kind of compassion toward these individuals that come in and don't dress just right. You ought to have compassion. Ain't got the same kind of color skin. Or not come from the same social class. You ought to have the same kind of compassion towards them as anybody else. Amen. We You cannot afford. Brother Eddie, you can't afford to lose. I'll tell you what, if you lose your compassion toward them prisoners, regardless of who they've raped, regardless of who they've murdered or what child they've molested, if you lose your compassion to see their soul saved, you'll never effectively minister to them. That's right. If Brother Toby loses his compassion towards you and your children and seeing them get right, he'll never be an effective pastor. But I'll tell you this, if we can develop a love toward one another and love our brethren as ourselves, thank God I know it's right. I'm glad we can have power and favor and see God manifest His glory and see sinners get right and see our families come to God if we'll have compassion. I say we ought to preach with compassion. I say you ought to sing with compassion.
Sure.
Amen. I tell you what, there's some folks that I know, they get up and they sound real good. And they got every note just right. I tell you, they can strum just like a hummingbird's can. But I tell you, there's no love in their heart. I tell you, you'll never be effective that way. But I tell you, there's a little old lady up at the church where I'm preaching at right now. And she'll get up and she loves everybody. She does everything, try to take care of everybody. And she get up and she don't sound as good as everybody else does. And she can't carry the same kind of tunes. But she loves everybody in that building. She wants to tell them. And she loves Jesus more than anything else. And she'll get up and sing about loving Jesus. And get up and sometimes she writes these songs sometimes. They don't make any sense. But they're making sense to God, I say. Thank God it's right. And she sings with compassion and love in her soul. Amen. Well, I say we ought to witness with compassion. Amen. Now I'll tell you this. You can go out yonder on the streets of Bremen Monday morning with the best tracts that the printers can print. You can bring me the printing and I can bang it out, buddy. I'm talking about I can run it out on print, on the press. You can bring it to me and I can print you the most pretty tracts and they can say all the right words and do all the right things. But if you can't witness effectively, if you can't witness with compassion and let them see your love for them regardless of what they look like, regardless of how long the man's hair is, or how many tattoos he's got, how many earrings dangle on his ear, you've got to witness with compassion. You've got to witness with love towards your brethren, wanting them to see that you want them to love God. You don't want them to die and go to hell. And we cannot afford to lose that. He wrote to the church at Sardis, and he said, "You strengthen the things which remain."
Yep.
These things that are ready to die. I see it, Brother John, he's saying, you've lost some things, but you ought to strengthen what you still got. You can't afford to lose it. The price is too great. It'll cost too much if you lose your compassion. I want to say we can't afford to lose our compassion. I want to say we can't afford to lose our commitment. Amen. Well, I want to get on something right here and just bring it all down so everybody will just know exactly how I feel about it. If you love God, you'll be here every time you meet everybody. And there won't be a whole lot of excuses. And you'll try to take vacation days at work. I know it's right. You'll go to praying about God opening up doors and letting you be here if you're committed to the house of God. I'll say if you're committed, Brother Toby won't ever have to come in here and worrying about preaching to 4 or 5. If you're committed, he'll preach to the same crowd Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, however many times a week y'all meet. And you can't afford to lose your commitment. Amen. I want to read this verse to you in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. One of the most popularly quoted verses in defense of the doctrine of eternal security. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 said, "For I know," picking up at the middle of the verse, "for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now I want to clear something up right here. The problem is not in God's capability of keeping. The problem is in our capability of staying committed. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. And I'll say this, as long as you're committed, you're kept. But the day you stop your commitment, you have ceased to be kept. Amen. I'll say this, thank God. I'm glad. I believe in eternal security. And I believe once saved, always saved. You really do. You die saved and you'll always be saved. Amen. He said, "Them that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Hey, thank God, yes. He's able to keep what's committed. And we can't afford to lose our commitment. Amen. It'd be a dangerous thing, Brother Andy, for you to strike out on this way, committed and set on fire for God, living for God, but lose your commitment. You're in danger of apostatizing and leaving God and falling from the great grace that saved your soul.
You
Amen. I want to stay committed. God put a calling in me to preach when I was 17 years old, and I want to stay committed to it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've not wavered yet. Some of them said when I started out at 17 and said, well, he's too young. He'll never kick it up. He'll never keep it going. He'll quit before he gets started real good. Well, some 8, 9 years later, I'm still preaching out the same kind of Bible. Most of them's done been married 2 or 3 times and done quit. Amen. Amen. But by God, I'm so glad God put something in me, and I made up my mind I was going to be committed to the calling and live for God and do for God. And he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him.
Amen.
We can't afford to lose our commitment. I don't know what all the offices y'all hold here. I think Brother John's a deacon, and I think Brother Matthew is Sunday school superintendent. I don't know what all your offices are, but I tell you this, you can't afford whatever your office in the church is, you can't afford to lose your commitment to it.
That's right.
I'll tell you, if the church is going to grow and going to prosper, it's got to act as one entity. It's got to be one being, one body. And I'll tell you this, if one member of that body is not committed as it should, it will hinder the entire body from growing. You get cancer in your lungs and see if I ain't telling you the truth. Dead man, let one of your little youngins come down with leukemia of some little old small part of his body and find out if I ain't telling you what's right. If the whole body's not committed, it'll hinder the cause. We cannot afford to lose our commitment. Amen.
Amen.
I want to stay committed to what God's called me to do.
Amen.
I want to stay committed to what the Lord has laid at my charge and how God has commissioned me to do certain things in the church. I want to say we ought to stay committed to it. Amen. Well, thank God's right. Amen. I want to say thirdly, we can't afford to... Fifthly, man, I'm done way down on here. We can't afford to lose our commission. Amen. Thank God it's right. Now I get to thinking about what God has commissioned us to do. I always think about Matthew chapter 28 and that great commission chapter where Jesus commissioned the disciples and gave them what scholars call the great commission. Amen. I want to say we can't afford to lose it. Thank God. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore, amen, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. My God. I want to say that commission that Jesus has put into our charge and put in our hands, we can't afford to lose it. Hey, we got a job to do. Hey, we got sinners to win. Hey, we got missionaries to support. Hey, we cannot afford to lose our commission. God has charged us to go ye therefore. Now, I don't know just exactly what God... I can use Brother Eddie as an example. He's been charged to go ye therefore to the prisons. And that would be what I would consider his commission. Amen. He's called to preach, and that's just kind of how I break it down. Y'all may not look at it this way. You know, I guess it really matters. It was just isms and sism. But I look at Brother Eddie's calling. His calling is to preach the gospel. Amen. But his commission is to go ye therefore to the prison. That's the way I see it. Brother Toby Parrish got the same call to preach I got the same call to preach Brother Eddie's got. But his commission is to go ye therefore to Bremen, Georgia, and pastor that church. Amen. Amen. God, I know it's right. I don't know what it is God's commissioned you or what specifically God has charged you to do, but you can't afford to lose it. Amen. I can be a preacher, Brother Andy. You can be a preacher and thank God come into the Truth Church every Sunday and sit on the bench and still got your license and still sit there and say you're called to preach. But if you're not doing specifically what God wants and you've lost your commission, you're in trouble. You'll lose your favor with God. Amen.
Hey,
Brother Eddie, I suppose, could quit going to them prisons tomorrow if he wanted to. But I'll say this, and this is just how I feel about it. You'll never be happy if you're not doing what God has commissioned you to do. Amen. I don't say if God commissions you to go to the backside of the African jungle and preach to the Aborigines or wherever they are, wherever they're from, you got to go. Amen. Thank God it's right. Well, they may be from Australia. Amen. Wherever they're from, if God's commissioned you to go, that's what you got to do. Amen. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. We cannot afford to lose our commission. Amen. I want to say sixthly, we cannot afford to lose our communion. Our communion. Amen. Now, I believe that the communion service is just kind of how I feel about it, is the most precious and beautiful service there is.
I really do. And I really feel like we as a church ought to do it more often. And I don't know how often y'all do it here, and it's none of my business. I don't suppose I'm not a member here. But I know how often we do it at my place, and we don't do it enough. Amen. Thank God. I say we can't afford to lose our communion. Amen. Now that communion is a very special thing. I want to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, 17. Verse 16 said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 17 says, for when we be many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Amen. I want to say we can't afford to lose our communion. I say we can't afford to lose our communion with each other. Amen. Have that fellowship one with another. We ought to fellowship as brethren. But more importantly, we can't afford to lose our communion with God. Amen. Have that personal relationship, that personal time of fellowship with God and that communion with God. Can't afford to lose it. There's a lot of churches, I suppose, Brother John, that has lost the ability to commune with God. They come in church and they got all the things, everything's just right. Sing the right kind of songs, preach out of the right kind of Bible, say the right kind of amens, but there's no communion with God. I'll say this, if you come to church Sunday after Sunday and you never commune with God, something's bad wrong in your heart. If God never kisses you with the kisses of His mouth, and God never touches you with the tips of His finger, and He never strums on your heartstrings, something's bad wrong. Amen. And we cannot afford to lose that communion. Cannot afford to lose that communication, that fellowship, that touching of God's hand, and the move of God on the service. We cannot afford to lose that. That communion. Now that communion service is, as I realize, is representative. I do not believe in that. Whatever that word then Catholics use, that transubstantiation, how you say that word. And I do not believe when you partake of the cup, you're literally partaking of the blood of Jesus. And when you eat the unleavened bread, you're not literally eating of His body. I realize that's not right. But I'll say this. I thank God for the times that I have partaked of His blood. Amen. That's right. There's been a few times and I didn't have a grape juice in my hand and didn't have unleavened bread. But every once in a while, I'd fall on my face and beg God to touch me and walk into sweet communion with Him and get touched by His breath and touched by His hand, by God. And we cannot afford to lose that communion.
That's right.
You ever been in a place, you ever been in a situation, a circumstance where you wanted God to touch you?
Yes,
more than anything, Brother Andy. I mean, you get down there at His feet and you beg Him to touch you. And sometimes it seems like, more often than not, I suppose sometimes it feels like Brother Toby, I get out and maybe I'm a praying amiss, but I'm a begging God to touch me and He's not a touching. But I'll tell you, it makes it altogether more sweet when He does. I'm not charismatic by no means. And I don't believe God blows through and shakes the chandeliers every service. I don't believe He turns the benches over every service. But them times He does come. And them times He does touch me. It's worth everything. It's worth everything I've done. Just to have sweet communion with God. And we as a church cannot afford to lose it. Can't afford to lose our communion. I'm going to say last of all, I want to say we cannot afford to lose our consolation. Amen. I want to say that I believe this consolation got here. And there's a man in the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, I believe it is. And his name is Simeon. The Bible said he is a just man and a righteous man. And he waited down yonder by the temple. God had revealed to him that he would not taste of death until he had seen the Savior, until he had seen the Messiah. Well, thank God, here come Mary and Joseph one day and told the baby in a blanket. And I suppose maybe Simeon didn't realize what he had in his hands until he looked in the face of the great I Am. And the Bible said he'd been down yonder waiting at the temple for the consolation of Israel. And thank God when he laid his eyes on that baby, he said, Lord, let now thy servant depart. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He had got hold of the consolation. And he could not afford to lose it. Amen. That consolation or that comfort of Israel. That thing was going to bring peace, blessed peace. Unto them Israelites had been oppressed for so long. Had they only received Him. Had they only accepted Jesus for who He was. Had they only got a hold of that consolation. But they rejected Him. But I say, thank God, because of their rejection, I can be a partaker of the same consolation. And
can't have that comfort and that peace in my soul.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture and then I'm going to close. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, again, verse number 15 said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Amen. I want to say this consolation, this comfort that God's given me, I want to hang on to it, Brother John. I don't want to let go of it. I can't afford to lose it. It's what keeps me in the midnight hours when everything's falling around at my feet. When all the world seems like it's against us. I thank God that consolation. It's what keeps me in the night hours. Amen.
Amen.
That consolation, that comfort. I want to say we have the consolation of His coming. Amen. He did say, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thank God. I have that consolation. But Andy, that let come what may. I know this world's getting worse every day. And it looks like all of America's turning to dogs and turning to hell itself. And I'll say this, I've got a consolation. I let the waves come. I let the storms rage and blow. But I've got a consolation. And it means more to me than anything else. And I cannot afford to lose it. Amen.
Amen.
Can't afford to lose my consolation. Here the writer John said, "You ought to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die." He said, "You've got a name that you're alive, but you're dead." Amen. He said, "I've seen your works, and they're not perfect." I'll tell you this, I could say that's Truth Church. I could say that's Grace Church. I could say that's Friendship Church. I could say that to FCM. I could say that to the Wills Creek Association. Your works ain't perfect. But I tell you, there's some things we have lost. But we've not lost everything. And there's some things that we've come so far, we can't afford to lose much else. Amen. You look around you. You look around you at this old-time church and this old-time way of worship. It's not popular. It's not favorable. It's not drawing them in by the groves. And I tell you, we've lost some things, but we can't afford to lose much else. And we better strengthen the things which remain. Hang on to them. They're ready to die. They're ready to slip out of our hands and slip out of our fingers. And we can't afford to lose them, Brother Andy. And we better do what we can while it's day. There's a night coming no man's going to be able to work. And we cannot afford to lose our time. Amen. He said, "There hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." Amen. I'm glad there's still a remnant in this way, this old-time way. I'm glad there's still a remnant. Some things we can't afford to lose. Everybody stand, please. I'm done preaching. Maybe deep in your heart you see some things in your life. Maybe on the verge of slipping away. Maybe there's some things you're on the verge of letting go. Maybe your convictions, maybe your commission, maybe you're ready to compromise and give up and quit. I'll tell you, there's an altar down here. You need to make things right. We can't afford to lose these things. Amen. I'm done preaching, but Toby, if you'll come.